The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Well, I'm a little nervous, Howard, about my topics.
And so you should be. They are aggressive out there today. Wow.
Okay, well, I'm ready. I'm ready. But I just wanted to talk about one thing very quickly before we get into the topics. It's just that Iran has executed this guy. It was front page news in Iran. A Mossad spy was hanged, according to the Iran's fast news agency. And then they go on to say that, in fact, this was a guy who apparently had passed information to the U.S. With regard to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps Force Commander Qasem Soleimani, who, of course, was assassinated in January. Iran is somehow trying to kind of react, I think, to some of the events that are going on. And unfortunately, this person, I'm not quite sure whether the charges have any base to them or not, but was actually executed and it was all reported on the front pages of the Iranian news.
Absolutely terrible. Terrible, terrible story indeed. The Hungarian foreign minister has been on a visit to Israel and met with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem. What was on their agenda?
I just think that international leaders are trying to travel as much as they can if they find an opportunity
they
to
can't
drop
stand
in
being
somewhere.
Home. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in all seriousness, this was the Hungarian foreign minister whose name is very, very difficult to pronounce. Peter Szijjártó. I'll try that.
Look, we can't correct
Hungarian name.
But don't worry, our listeners will.
I hope well.
Oh, no, they will. Don't worry, no Anthony.
Anyway, we'll just call him Peter for short because that's easy. But he popped in to Jerusalem yesterday. It's quite interesting what they had on their agenda. He met not only with Prime Minister Netanyahu, but of course also with the Israeli Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi. Hungary, the Czech Republic, and Austria are three countries within the European Union who really seem to be standing up in Israel's case and supporting Israel's cause in general in the European Union. And they're kind of three or four major topics that those countries seem to be fighting where it comes to the Israeli-related issues in the European Union. The first of which is that Hungary seems very much to be supporting the whole idea of the Trump plan. You know, instead of allowing people to knock it back and simply condemn it, they are saying not necessarily that they support it or they feel that this is a great idea, but they feel that it needs to be given time and opportunity because so far everything else has failed. And so therefore, here's something which seems like it has some validity to it. So why not at least give it a go? Because in the EU, they were publishing a statement which condemned the plan. And interestingly, Hungary was one of those three countries, Hungary, Czech Republic, and Austria, who blocked the statement, who actually vetoed the condemnation of the Trump plan. So that's the first thing which was certainly on the agenda. The second thing on the agenda is all to do with Iran and, of course, the atomic program, the nuclear program that Iran is pursuing. Hungary is a member of the International Atomic Energy Agency. Hungary does, in fact, have a nuclear program, although it is a peaceful nuclear program. They're not planning to build nuclear weapons. And so they are a member of the International Atomic Energy Agency. And as such, they're obviously receiving reports from the IAEA. And also they are speaking out against Iran and what Iran is doing. So they are very much supporting Israel's position from within the International Atomic Energy Agency and, of course, within the European Union as well. The other point which Hungary has really been supporting Israel is with regard to the International Criminal Court, where it has very much opposed actions by the International Criminal Court or proposed actions against Israel. The International Criminal Court now has gone into its summer holiday, so we're going to have a little bit of a break from talking about actions that are taking place there. But Hungary, once again, is one of those countries that has stood up in favor of Israel and really supported Israel's position. And the other last thing which I think was on the agenda was the whole idea of banning Hezbollah in Europe. At the moment, what the European Union has done is they've actually banned only the military wing of Hezbollah, not the entire organization, which really is a terror organization. And even within Hezbollah, they don't have the split between a military wing and a non-military wing. There are organizations Incredible. That have split themselves
the length,
in that way.
The length it'll go to just to try and keep something going there. You know, right. creating a distinction that doesn't even exist.
Exactly. So the point is that, you know, Hungary has been very much supportive of the idea of banning Hezbollah in Europe. Unfortunately, Hungary itself doesn't have a policy about this. And what they've said is that if they, you know, were able to do the ban unilaterally, they would do so, but unfortunately they fall under the European ban and therefore they're obliged in some way to toe the line. And so Hungary definitely is doing quite a lot of work to progress Israel's cause at the European Union and beyond that. And of course, besides talking about trade issues and all other things, I think it's just interesting how the relationship between the Orbán a government in Hungary, which is not particularly positively viewed in the international community, and the Netanyahu government in Israel, which also has its issues on the international stage, are somehow cooperating together to try to forge some progress.
The Knesset Coronavirus Committee yesterday tried to take back some of the control for the management of the pandemic because, I mean, certainly somebody needs to take control. What actions were taken to try and regulate the situation?
Well, the Knesset Committee is, in fact, the overseeing body and, as we discussed yesterday, really has the right even to overrule the government or to prevent the government from taking certain actions if the Knesset Committee doesn't agree. And they really flexed their muscles yesterday in order to demonstrate that point. They went and reiterated the fact that pools, beaches, restaurants and other things that the government, schools, for example, that the government had decided to close, and particularly on weekends, there'd been this government decision to close places of entertainment on weekend. That was effectively all rescinded by the Knesset Coronavirus Committee, leaving them open on weekends. The only areas of where we're unsure at the moment relates to restaurants, which theoretically this morning at 5 o'clock had to close down for people actually visiting the restaurants. A lot of restaurants have decided they're staying open in any event, in spite of that particular ban. Restaurants are still allowed to be open for takeaways and for delivery services, but not for people actually sitting there. The Knesset Coronavirus Committee said, we would like that to change, and apparently there will be a decision even later today. So even though restaurants closed down at 5 this morning, there is a view that by 10 o'clock they might be reopened again legally. And the committee has suggested limiting the number of people inside the restaurant, allowing the restaurant to seat people outdoors. There is a direction towards an increase in activity outdoors. So if the swimming pool is outside as opposed to inside, if the beach, which is outside, you know, people can congregate to some degree there. Restaurants, you can sit outside as opposed to inside. Somehow we're moving towards a situation where outside, you know, having a minion or praying outside is okay, but praying inside is not okay. For the same number of people and potentially even within the same area. So there is certainly some evidence showing that we're moving towards being more outside than inside, and the committee did support that. We will see how things progress today, whether the committee is able to continue to flex its muscles and show leadership, as opposed to some of the random decisions which seem to be coming from the government.
Mm. Airstrikes were carried out in Syria last night. Fingers have been, of course, pointed at Israel carrying out the attack. What is known about this latest attack?
Just what we know from the Syrian state news agency, which spoke about 7 Syrian soldiers being injured. It also spoke about 5 Iranians and pro-Iranian militants actually being killed in those strikes, which took place apparently just south of Damascus. We are told that Syrian air defense systems were actually activated on Monday. There was a report that suggested that the attack took place from Israeli helicopters, that the Syrian air defense systems not only were targeting those helicopters that were carrying out the attack, but also that the Syrian air defense systems themselves were being targeted for attack. And it's interesting that last week, Iran and Syria signed a military cooperation agreement, including a commitment by Iran to strengthen Syrian air defense systems. So it's a somewhat ironic that within a week of signing that particular agreement where the air defense systems are going to be strengthened, this seems to have been at least one of the targets that have come under significant attack by the Israeli attack, if we believe the reports that have come out of Syria. Another report suggested that the Israeli airspace in the Golan Heights, east of the Jordan River, actually was closed for a period, and that that apparently was designed to allow Israel to carry out these attacks. Of course, from Israel, no references at all to any of these attacks. But I suspect that we're just going to continue to see more of the same. It seems as if we've almost fallen into some sort of a routine of not only strange incidents being carried out in Iran, but of course these attacks from time to time in Syria. I have no doubt that they are pointed, that they have intelligence associated with them, that they're just not random. But of course we will never really know the true details.
Indeed. And Apple and Google have both been accused of removing Palestine from their maps. Who's making these accusations?
Well, this is an opportunity for the listeners really to express their fury, if that's what they want to do, and be angry about content. Apparently there was a whole Instagram post on Wednesday, and further criticism on social media, where apparently they are now officially criticizing both Apple and Google Maps from removing reference to Palestine on their maps. And there's a strange group I'm not even going to try to pronounce their name, but they have got a name. And it's something like, Astagfirullah. That seems to be the group on Instagram and other social media that has been very, very critical of the fact that the name Palestine no longer appears on these maps. But you see, here's the question. We know that Palestine is not a sovereign state as recognized by the United Nations and some other international bodies. That for sure. But the question is whether Google and Apple Maps are obliged to stick only to names on their maps which represent sovereign states, or whether an area which is commonly known by a particular name might be reflected on their maps or not. So here, I just wonder whether this is a storm in a teacup, whether there might not be some uber sensitivity going around both for and against this argument. Do we think that they are justified to put the name Palestine on a map? I mean, I'm not sure if I would be offended by it necessarily, even though I know that Palestine is not officially recognized as an independent state. And I do object to it being given that status at times, for example, under the International Criminal Court and various other references to it, which sort of indicate that it might be a sovereign state, which it is not. But on a map, what do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I'd love that. I'd love to throw it out to our listeners, even the miserable ones. Would you object to Palestine being represented on a map, knowing that there is no Palestine, that the United Nations have not accepted Palestine as a state? Would you object to Palestine being represented on a map by Google, Apple, etc.? I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Thinking about it, Anthony, it doesn't particularly bother me, but I wonder if it's not just simply because we've been bombarded with this type of media around it, and therefore I've been schooled or re-educated to accept this. But strictly speaking, if a country is not a country, then why should it be represented on a map as though it is? It's intellectually problematic, and factually problematic. So I know that I should object to it, but somehow I just wonder. I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Anthony, well done. You seem to have got through this section, fairly unscathed.
Well, so far, Howard, I'm sure that you will be inundated as soon as I let you guys go. And that's why it's so nice to be me, because I can just leave you then to take all the flack afterwards, right?
And absolutely. And we do it with absolute joy. Love our listeners, even if some days they don't love us. It's 8:00. Anthony, have a good one. We'll speak to you tomorrow.